Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
When Jesus wanted to describe a kind of joy that surpassed all circumstances, he used the word blessed. And it might surprise you what qualities of life truly bring blessedness. Stay tuned next with Dr. Chappell as we study on Daily in the Word, the life God blesses. Pretty much everybody wants to be happy. We all long for an inner joy and delight, a sacred blessedness that rises up above every bad day and every season of discouragement. And that's the kind of word Jesus used when he described the joy he brings throughout the circumstances of life. He used the word blessed. And today, on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the life God blesses, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's probably going to surprise you what God truly calls blessed. Before we join the program, I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. You'll find links to Dr. Chappell's newest resources and books and many other things to help you along in your spiritual growth and your walk with God. And so, dailyintheword.org, it's a resource, a treasure box of resources for your spiritual growth. Right now, let's open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. Today, we discover that there is blessedness in meekness. Here's Paul Chappell.
Grade yourself a little bit this morning as we look to the Word of God. First of all, the first question, do I become angry or fretful easily? Do I become angry or fretful easily? The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself from the evildoer. Verse 11, the meek shall inherit the earth. Now, a meek person is not going to have as his first response the fight back response. He's not going to be a person who's fighting for his cause or proving his point continuously. He's not going to be a person who is filled with fear constantly. The meek man, rather, focuses his attention on God and is content to let God settle the score. That's what the Bible says in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So, do I become angry or fretful easily? Now, if you want to score yourself 1 to 10, that's fine. Or you can answer the question yes or no. We're just taking a little examination here. Notice the second question. Do I accept God's word with delight? Do I accept God's word with delight? Am I really looking forward to the preaching when I come to God's house? Do I open up the Bible and say, God, give me something today? And the Bible says in James 1:21, lay aside filthiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. God says that a meek person will receive the word of God. It will be engrafted to their life. And the Bible says that you and I, as we're growing in meekness, we want the Bible. We want to learn what the Bible has to say. And we're humbling ourselves to God by saying, God, speak to my heart and work in my life. Do I accept God's word easily? You know, a lot of times people can come to church and because there's not Dolby Stereo and multicolor Panavision everywhere, and we find that our minds can wander. And yet, if we're accepting God's word readily, it is a sign that in our lives there is meekness. Now, it reminds me of the story of a little boy that came to church. Man, he did not want to be in Sunday school. He did not want to be there at all. And he was throwing a fit and running around the room, and he was doing everything he could to cause a disruption. And finally, the Sunday school teacher said, now look, I want you to sit down right here. Now sit down. Let's be still. Sit down. And the little guy sat down, and he looked up at that teacher. He said, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That's how some people come to church. I may be sitting in this pew, but I'm on the beach inside. And you see, they're not receiving the word with meekness. So how do we handle anger? How do we accept the word of God? And then thirdly, what is our attitude towards a sinning brother? Another way to know how your heart is in meekness, what is your attitude towards someone who's in sin? What is your attitude towards someone that's doing something wrong? Do you receive it gleefully with interest and delight? Is it something that you're excited to hear and share? Or do you receive it with a heavy heart? You know what the Bible says in Galatians 6:1? That when someone is erring in their way, we should restore them with a spirit of meekness, considering ourselves also, lest we're tempted. And the word restore means to set, as in the case of a broken bone. It means I want to set this back in order. I don't want to be gleeful. What is your attitude when someone says, hey, let me tell you about so-and-so. Or when you see a brother going a different direction, you say, ah, well, that's just what I thought all the time. Or is your heart a heart of compassion? Is your heart desiring to help set something back in order? What is your attitude towards a sinning brother? So how do we handle anger or fret? And then as we look into the Word of God, how do we receive the Word of God? And thirdly, the Bible speaks of meekness with respect to how do we have in our hearts, what is the attitude towards someone who's going away that they should not go? And I'm going to tell you something. The opposite of meekness is when we sort of delight in someone else's sin. We should be brokenhearted in a case like that. And then a fourth question. Do we seek unity with our brethren? Do we seek unity with our brethren in our homes and in our church and with other people of God? Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Someone who is growing in meekness will seek unity. They will not compromise the truth for that unity, but they will definitely seek to have unity with the children of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And he's not speaking about being a salesman or a machinist. He's speaking about the vocation of the Christian life. And he's saying, I want you to act like Christians. And then he says in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, someone who is meek, someone who has power that's under control, will seek to keep the peace and seek to have unity. Not compromising truth, but desiring to have fellowship that is not broken. And the Bible says that we'll do that in meekness and that we will endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, there are those Christians today who are meek with power under control, and there are those who are rebellious with power out of control. And when there is rebellion in your household, you're going to find there is disunity in the household. But when there is meekness in your household, you're going to find there is unity in the household. And a meek Christian will use his influence to bring God's people together in a spirit of love. J. Vernon McGee once said this. He said, you can't believe half of what you hear, but you can repeat it. And there are Christians like that. They're not sure that what they're hearing is even true, but they can repeat it because there's a spirit that is not a meek spirit. Their power is out of control. Someone with a meek spirit says, I'm going to have power controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Do we seek unity? And then there's a fifth question in this examination today. How is my attitude towards someone who disagrees with me? How is my attitude towards someone that disagrees with me? Now, Paul is writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:24. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is a great chapter given to a young preacher. And he says in 2 Timothy 2:24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but in meekness he must instruct those that oppose themselves. Well, I tell you what, I think that all of us like it when people agree with us, but the test of meekness is not when they agree with us. The test of meekness is how we doing when they disagree with us. How's our toleration of that? I remember my wife and I, for a big day a few years ago, we were out knocking on some doors, wearing our buttons with our cards in our pocket. Amen. We were out inviting people to church, and we knocked on some people's door, and we said, we'd like to invite you to come to Lancaster Baptist Church. And they said, hey, that sounds like a good idea. Come on in. I said, fine, wonderful. We sat down, and we began to talk to this family. Well, after a while, they began to ask some questions, and I had not told them that I was the pastor of the church. And as we began to talk, I could tell these folks were Jehovah's Witnesses. They were going to witness to us. Well, I saw what was happening. So I said, well, you know, that's interesting. Why don't we have a Bible study together here? And we began to study some verses together. And, you know, I began to show them a verse in Colossians that says that Christ, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I showed them in John 1:14 how that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John 1:1. And I showed them here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 how that Christ was in the form of God and that He was God in the flesh. We just started studying all kinds of wonderful verses. I'll never forget what that man did. He jumped off that couch and he said to me, what Bible are you using there? And I said, well, I'm using the Holy Bible. He said, I mean, what version of the Bible? I said, the King James Version of the Bible. He said, I hate that version of the Bible. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but that's the one I'm using, and that's what the Bible says. Now, the man didn't get saved, but God, at least for that moment in my life, help me by His Spirit to have meekness with the man. And I walked out of the door, by the way, as we walked out of that house, I said, my wife, I said, I found one more reason to love the King James Version of the Bible today. Anything a Jehovah Witness hates, I think I love it. But you know, sometimes even in our witnessing, we need to pray for meekness. Because we can give that truth out in power that's under control. How is your attitude towards someone that does not agree with you? The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15 that we're to be ready to give an answer to any man that asks the hope within us with meekness. God says power under control. Now you're going to find in your life that if you have any measure of authority in your family, at your workplace, whatever, in the 1990s, you're going to be scrutinized and doubly scrutinized and watched. And how are you exercising your authority? And let me tell you, friend, the way to exercise that is by saying, Lord, control me. Help me to be meek. Help me to be under your control. And that's our third point. Not only do we see examples of this matter of meekness, not only have we taken an examination of where we are, but now we're going to see how can we exercise meekness in our lives. Now, before we look at the exercise of meekness, let's just ask a question. You be honest with me, and I'll be honest with you. How many of you would say, Pastor, you gave us the five questions, we took the examination. I'm not as meek as I thought I was before the test. I'm not quite, I mean, honestly, now that we've looked at those five verses, I'm not quite where I thought I was. My hand's up. Anybody else want to confess their sins before the whole world? Okay. Boy, when I tell you, I begin to study what that means, and I begin to say, well, there's some room for growth. How many of you ever think there's room for growth when you read the Bible? Some of you, not me, bless these people's hearts, they need to grow, don't they? I never have that feeling when I read the Bible. I'll pray for these peon Christians here. Now, for those of us who raised our hands and said, no, I have some room for development, how's that going to happen? How can we exercise unto maturity? How can we develop those spiritual muscles? Well, the Bible says that in Galatians 5:23 that meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. Meekness is something developed in us by the Holy Spirit. It's not something natural with me or you. Natural with me or you is to argue and to worry and to fret and to fight and to stand up for our rights. And it's a constant state of rebellion going way back to the garden with Adam and Eve. But when I'm saved and the person of the Holy Spirit of God takes residence in my life, now I can act from His presence, I can live according to the power of the Holy Spirit in me. And so meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, something about fruit that us city slickers may want to write down. Fruit is cultivated, not manufactured. Some of you think grapes grow at Albertsons. Okay. Fruit is not something that you just make. Fruit is something that's cultivated. That's why we're using this term, the exercise or the growth of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is cultivated, not manufactured. Now, I learned a lot of these things on the farm, our family farm back in Colorado, and I'd race back there in the summers, and man, I tell you what, there's things growing everywhere, and the pinto beans, and the wheat, and the alfalfa, and all of the trees in the garden, and all of the vegetables in that garden. And my absolute favoritest fruit in the entire world is red raspberries out of Grandma's garden. I love red raspberries. Oh, man, I tell you, I oftentimes would run right to the raspberry patch to see how the raspberries were doing. And I would oftentimes have to taste test some of those raspberries to make sure they were doing well. You know something about raspberries, though? Although I was there just in time to partake of that fruit, Granddad had been doing a lot of cultivating to get them to that point. He had been trimming those bushes. He had been tilling the ground around those bushes. He had been watering those bushes. And they're not just instantly there year-round. Those plants go through a tremendous process of preparation before they can bear that fruit. And I don't think there's any Christian here who's just meek. Now, there may be some Christians who want to point out someone else who's not meek enough. I've met some in my day. But truthfully, all of us are not meek enough. None of us are just year-round, full-bloom raspberries ready to be picked. Most of us in this room are still under some cultivation. Most of us are still growing in this matter of meekness. Now, meekness is cultivated in our lives through difficult experiences. That's how meekness comes. It's not pleasant, I guess, for a raspberry bush to be trimmed by Grandpa. It's not something that's pleasant in one way. You're hacking half of it off down to the ground. And it's not pleasant in our lives when we go through something and it feels like God's maybe taken some limbs off of us. But it's through those experiences that meekness and humility comes forth. And you see, difficulties in our lives, this is a critical statement, I want you to hear this. Difficulties in our lives will either cultivate meekness or rebellion. One of two. I know people who grew up in the inner city with real difficulties. Some in our church. They grew up in the inner city and some of them have come out as sweet as apple pie. Meek. Power? Oh yeah. But power under control. And I know some people that are in a raging fit at everything from mom and dad to society to the police to the preachers to everybody. Difficulties in our life will either cultivate meekness or cultivate rebellion. Your difficulties in your life have either cultivated a meek and tender spirit or an angry spirit. Now, as you and I recognize that, the Bible says in Colossians 3:12 to put on meekness. In other words, all of us are going to need to put on meekness. And the Bible says as we exercise unto meekness, we will inherit the earth. Now, the term inherit the earth, because Matthew 5 is the political platform for the coming kingdom, I believe is also a reference to the new heaven or the new earth that the Bible speaks about. But I think there's an application for us as well. To inherit the earth means to reign over ourselves and our circumstances through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and thou shalt be fed. Now the word inherit, the Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now think about it. Normally, we don't inherit something unless someone dies. And you'll inherit something, possibly, and I'll inherit something, possibly, when someone dies. Now wait a minute. In this case, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Guess who has to die before we inherit the earth? I do. You mean physically, Pastor? No, spiritually. See, the Bible says in Romans 6, we're to die to ourselves. Reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto Christ. And when a person dies to themselves and they're no longer asserting themselves and power posturing and defending themselves and fighting for their rights, and that's not true. And now as they die to themselves, God says, I'll give you the inheritance you need. I will bless you. And you will know in that time of your life, it wasn't you that manipulated it. It was God that blessed you with it. Meekness seeks nothing for self and receives everything from God. Now, say, I have to admit, I've sought some things for myself before. All of us have. Bible says in Ephesians 5, no man hateth himself, but nourisheth himself. But meekness is saying this, I'm seeking nothing for myself. I'm not going to make him look bad so that I can make myself look better. I am going to look to Jesus, and I am going to trust him to bless me. And then I will know whatever I receive and however I'm promoted at the company, it was not because I stabbed old Joe in the back. It was because I trusted God. That's power under control. And the controller, hear me, is not the guy that handles the finances at work. The controller is the Holy Spirit of God. That's why meekness is called a fruit of the Spirit. It can only be brought about by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in closing this morning, the greatest example of meekness the world has ever known is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:23. Who, when he was reviled, when they said, if you're the king, come down. When they pulled his beard and thrust a spear into his side. When they said, you're a liar, you're not who you say you are. When they said, you're a false teacher, when he was reviled. The Bible says, he reviled not again. Why? Meekness. He would let the Father settle that score. And the Bible says when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Isaiah 53 and verse 7, the Bible says he was oppressed and afflicted, but he opened not his mouth. That's meekness. That's power under control. He could have said to Pontius Pilate, be no more, and he would have disappeared. He could have said to Judas Iscariot, I'm tired of looking at you, and you're gone. And he could have called those 10,000 angels and said, I'm not going to stay here. But he is the manifestation of power under control. And friend, I want to say to you this morning, and perhaps you're visiting with us, Jesus Christ did that because he loves you. And though you deserved a letter-writing campaign against you, and though you deserved condemnation, Jesus says, paid in full, forgiven. That is power under control. And Jesus did that because he loves you, and he loves me, and he wants you to have a home in heaven. That's why he bore our sins in his body, that our sins might be forgiven. And that's why as we look to Jesus this year, by God's grace, we can grow in this area of meekness to become more like Him.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the life God blesses. You know, the most blessed life is a life that's entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Lots of people are religious. Lots of people believe in God. But the Bible says the way to be born into Christ is to come to Him in faith, to trust Him, to acknowledge that you cannot save yourself, and to claim Him as your only Savior, to place 100% of your faith in Him. And friend, wherever you may be in this moment, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart to make that simple but important decision to place your faith in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. 201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chapel and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chapel invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.